A reading from the book of Leviticus. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the whole Israelite community and tell them, 'Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. You shall not bear hatred for your brother or sister in your heart, though you may have to reprove your fellow citizen. Do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge and cherish no grudge against any of your people. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person, for the temple of God, which you are, is holy. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool, so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God, for it is written, God catches the wise in their own ruses. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Let no one boast about human beings, for everything belongs to you, Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or the present, or the future. All belong to you, and you to Christ, and Christ to God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on one who wants to borrow. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the bad and the good, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Last week and this week, we have had important but sometimes hard to understand and easy to misunderstand teachings of Jesus. We just heard Jesus say to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' but I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, hit them back really hard. Turn the other one. If anyone wants to go to law over your tunic, the outer garment, hand over your cloak as well, the inner garment." There isn't much that you're wearing after that. "Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go 2 miles. If you love those who love you, what good is that?" And the clincher, "So be perfect." Yeah, right. Be perfect. Last week, that's just this week. Last week, we hear Jesus say, "You heard it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill.' But I say to you, who's ever angry with his brother participates in the same thing." Ain't. Anybody killed anybody here? Don't raise your hands. How about been angry with your brother or your sister? "You've heard it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say, everyone who looks on another person with lust has already committed adultery. So pluck out your eye and cut off your hand. Don't take a false oath, it's said. We heard last week, but I say to you, don't swear at all. Swear meaning take oaths. So Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the tax collectors, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven. So do you want to be better than a tax collector? That's not an IRS agent. That is the lowest of the low. The best modern equivalents I can come up with is child molesters or drug dealers or pimps. You want to be better than those? So does it mean we have to be powerless in the face of evil? And when we receive some injustice, we're supposed to say, can I have some more? If someone punches you, said, are you supposed to say, will you please do that again? Are we really supposed to be perfect? Oh, come on, give me something I've got a chance at. Is being angry the same as being a murderer? Does Jesus really want us to pluck out an eye? If we have lustful thoughts or feelings, don't swear. What about affidavits, depositions, and I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me. Okay, we're dealing here with murder and anger, adultery and lust, divorce, oaths, responding to evil and enemies. This is big stuff. So what does Jesus mean? Does this have any meaning for how we act? How Jesus expects us to act in our times? I bet what Jesus is talking about is not what most people think. At this point, I could title this stuff you've probably not heard before. Mr. Calvin, can you come up here, please? I need to work with somebody on this. Okay, we're going to enact turning the other cheek. Won't that be fun?
I was going to be able to test it on him yesterday, but he wouldn't let me.
At the time of Jesus, striking someone to be deemed of a lower class with the back of the hand was used to assert authority and dominance. Okay, the context here is the Romans are in Palestine. They were the enemies. And the Jews were lesser. So this ban, this was used to assert power, authority, and dominance. Now, according to custom, if the persecuted person turned the other cheek, how am I likely to hit him again? You can't use your left hand. That's just out. Cultural stuff, it was unclean, you don't use it. The person would be demeaning themselves terribly. Okay, so you if you've gone like this, what's the natural thing to do? Like that? The alternative would be to slap with the open hand, but cultural things that Jesus would have understood, his hearers would have understood, was that was then seen as a statement of equality between the two people. This is what superiors do. This is what equals do. By turning the other cheek, the persecuted was in fact demanding equality. I'm just like you. What was the guy going to do? He had to back off, or he had to accept the person as an equal. Thank you. And all the other two things have similar meanings. Giving the lender the cloak as well would make the person naked. Now, what we might not understand is public nudity was viewed as bringing shame on the viewer. You were supposed to be at a place where you saw stuff like that. So again, the person had a choice to go ahead and take the cloak and demean themselves or to back off. The commonly invoked Roman law allowed Roman authorities to demand that inhabitants of occupied territories carry messages and equipment a distance of 1 mile. That was what the law allowed. Can you think of anybody in the Bible who the Romans got to carry something? Simon of Cyrene. That's an instance of this law being applied. Romans said they could like get help from the local folks, but as a protection, they couldn't abuse it. They could go no more than a mile. So if you offer to go another mile, you're giving again the person a choice to break the law and to become responsible. The person who required that could be disciplined. It was a violation of the law. You were forcing that person to be fair, to respect you, or to risk judgment. Jesus is teaching his disciples not to respond with anger or aggression. Don't hit back. Don't call them names. But respond in a nonviolent way that requires the perpetrator to take responsibility for their actions. When somebody hits you, don't be intimidated. Don't act with aggression or retribution, but demand respect. Someone takes you to court, don't be bitter or seek the advantage, but let them know if they cross the line, God will hold them accountable. Someone calls on you for an act of kindness, then strive to act charitably. But if they demand what's unjust, confront them with their injustice. All these examples have idioms in our language. Turn the other cheek, give the shirt off your back, go the extra mile. You heard those things? Comes from here. Turn the other cheek doesn't mean let somebody take advantage of you. It says don't let somebody deny your self-respect, your human dignity. Give the shirt off your back doesn't mean you have to give away everything you have. Demand that people take responsibility for their actions. Going the extra mile doesn't mean you're powerless to resist every unreasonable demand, but that kindness and mercy are bounded by justice. When Jesus says, offer no resistance, it means don't respond in kind. Meet violence with nonviolence. Don't retaliate and get revenge. Pray for your enemies. Always seek what's good. Don't give in to evil. Look at what nonviolent resistance is doing as we speak. In Egypt, in other parts of the Arab world, could what happened in Egypt, and it's still going on, could that have ever happened with guns and tanks? No. How about John Paul II, in solidarity in the fall of communism and the Iron Curtain were shots fired? No, people were changed. Or Martin Luther King and the civil rights legislation, but this is true not only on the grand stage of the whole world, but also on the smaller stage of my life and your life. Do you have people that wrong you? Jesus is talking about how you treat them. Pray for your enemies and don't respond to evil with evil. This is powerful. The teachings of Jesus here are challenging, but it doesn't mean that we become weak or that we lose self-respect or that we let people do whatever they want with us. So Jesus says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. What does this mean? Most people agree that perfect is a very bad translation of this word. I don't understand why they use it. The Greek word means whole, complete, mature. It does not mean, as most of us would think from the use of the word perfect, it doesn't mean flawless. The comparison is like an acorn to an oak tree or to a spoiled child to a responsible adult. God calls us to maturity. Be mature. Be who God has created you to be. The faith of our childhood should develop and grow stronger and deepen as we practice our faith and meet the challenges of life and we grow in prayer. Whoever is angry, that is like murder. Does that mean every time I'm angry, I'm sinning? Just as a background here, it's a silly example. Hope it's useful. I use it a lot. If I punch you in the nose, how are you going to feel? Can you do that again? Is that what you're going to say? No, if I punch you in the nose, you're going to be angry. Well, let me say this. If you punch me in the nose, I promise I'll be angry. Don't punch me in the nose. Is that what Jesus is talking about? No. The Bible says be angry, but don't sin. It means do not be angry without cause. And it's not referring to a temptation or a feeling, but a willful action. If I punch you in the nose, you got a just cause, and you're going to be overcome with a powerful feeling. Sometimes we're angry because the devil is tempting us. Moral codes address decisions. This is really tough for modern people. Moral codes address decisions and actions, not feelings or temptations. Or another way to say that is God's moral expectations address things that are under our control, choices we make, not every stray thought, feeling, and temptation that's the flotsam and jetsam of our brains. Whoever has lust in their heart. God save us all. We kind of live in a saturated, sex-addicted society. Whoever has lust in their heart, hey, just line us up and shoot us now. Does this mean every time I don't want my thoughts projected on a screen for all to see that I'm sinning, that I'm guilty? No. Again, this doesn't doesn't affect feelings, temptations, random passing thoughts. It's talking about willful actions and choices we make. It can be tricky to know the difference. When do I cross that line between temptation and resistance and giving in? You have to work on it. We'll learn. This drives scrupulous people crazy. The distinction is crucial. It's important. Pluck out your eye and cut off your hand? That's Jewish hyperbole. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Take the beam out of your own eye. If we took this literally, we'd all be, hey, Mom, no eyes, no hands. But it means something important. Take this seriously. Act aggressively. Get to the root of the problem. Do not swear. Never take an oath. Are Catholics supposed to, I swear to tell the whole truth? The truth, the whole truth, you know. What does the Catholic Church say on that? I looked at the catechism. What does the catechism teach about this? It references two passages in the Bible from Paul in the New Testament. But I call on God as a witness against me. That's taking an oath. That's 2 Corinthians 1 and Galatians 1:20. And what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Referencing these things, the catechism says the tradition of the church has understood Jesus' words as not excluding oaths made for grave and right reasons. And then it says, for example, in court. This is not the catechism, no. You should never take false oaths or oaths that are disrespectful to God. Taking oaths for serious and just things is not forbidden. The teachings of Jesus make sense. Without some study, they're not always clear. But practice with understanding, they fill our lives with purpose and power. Trust God, love His word, follow His law, seek it with all your heart. It will change your life. It will make you a mature and strong son of God, daughter of God. This is what the Lord is talking about when He says in today's readings, be holy. You be holy as I am holy. You can do this.